Well, I turned 13 the day that Apollo 15 landed on the moon in July of 1971, and really have very little recollection of the first three moon landings, 11, 12, and 14. But Apollo 15, I remember, and I remember 16 and 17 as well, and I remember them for one piece of transformative equipment that they carried aboard on those missions that changed the face of Apollo. And that, of course, was this tiny folding electric go-kart that could carry more than twice its own weight and was just an amazing piece of engineering. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that those last three missions were, in fact, the culmination of the entire manned space program to that point. Everything had led up, not to the moon landing of Apollo 11, but to the last three flights, Apollos 15 through 17, where all the collected wisdom of the previous decade reached perfection. And yet those missions are completely overlooked today.
Let's talk about the vehicles that they drove. I mean, how did they work and what were they all about?
I mean, from the earliest days of planning for travel to the moon, eventually we were going to have to figure out a way to get around other than walking. It would have very little power, 1 horsepower of power. It would be made of aluminum and titanium. It would ride on wheels of wire mesh. And this thing would be driven kind of like a plane flies, with a joystick between the driver and the astronaut riding shotgun. There was a trunk of sorts behind, and the astronaut sat side by side amidships.
Talk about the astronauts who drove these machines. How did they describe the experience?
Well, it was a handful to drive. Charlie Duke told me that, you know, often there were 2 or more wheels off the ground as it traveled along. It would hit a bump, and the wheels would come up, the front wheels would come up, and they'd kind of hang there for a while. You know, Jim Irwin on Apollo 15 described it as a cross between a bucking Bronco and a small boat in a choppy sea. And had they not had seatbelts, they would have been ejected out of the thing in the first 5 minutes of driving. But it beat walking.
What do you think the greatest discoveries were made as they drove around the moon on those missions?
To really fully grasp that, you have to look at what was possible on foot. Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin climbed down out of their lunar module, and all of their travels would fit inside a football field. The farthest either man ventured from the lunar module was 65 yards. Apollo 12, the astronauts walked in total about 1.5 miles. And the same goes for Apollo 14. What the rover brought was range. The three missions using the rover traveled 56 miles in the thing.
Wow.
On their very first drive, Dave Scott and Jim Irwin on Apollo 15, they outdistanced all three previous missions combined.
I think for some people, it's hard to imagine that we did all this with, you know, 1970s technology. Just imagine what we would have today if we kept going back to the moon. It seems odd that we just stopped going.
Well, it is pretty fantastic that we were able to do what we did with the technology of the day. It is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
The rover was essentially a 1969 General Motors product, and I don't know if you've had any 1969 General Motors products.
No.
But I've owned two of them. They were wonderful vehicles, but if you were then to ask, well, would you drive them in an airless environment when exposed to a constant bombardment of cosmic radiation and micrometeorites moving faster than bullets, and trust that 1969 GM product to get you back to your only way home, I'd have to give that some thought.
It kind of feels like we're in a little bit of a space race right now. And what are your thoughts on the recent space achievements?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I mean, certainly we're, you know, you can see a space race developing with other countries. What's more interesting to me is just the front and center role that private industry has taken in on the American side. And I think it's good for us. And here we have three companies going head-to-head. I think it'll be good for science, and I'm excited by it.
Do you think with the help from one of these three companies, or maybe all of them, that we'll one day have man and woman set foot back on the moon?
Oh, yeah, sure. No question.
When? I want it now. When is this going to happen?
Well, it's pretty clear it's not going to be in 2024. but, you know, I think you'll see it.
Oh, good.
Sure. And presumably, you'll see Americans do it, but you'll see people back on the moon one way or another.
Earl Swift's new book is called Across the Airless Wilds, The Lunar Rover and the Triumph of the Final Moon Landings. Earl will be our speaker for tomorrow's Books and Brews. We have details at WMRA.org. Earl, thank you so much for writing this book. I didn't know much about these final missions. It's been great to talk to you today. Thanks.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.